Dennis Ray Hoskins of Warsaw, Indiana, passed away at 7:08 a.m. on Friday, December 27th, at visiting nurse and hospice home of Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the age of 71. Dennis was a resident of Warsaw since 1981, when at that time he was attending Grace Theological Seminary in Winona Lake. He was enlisted in the United States Navy from 1959 to 1987 as an air traffic controller and as an officer recruiter. After retiring in 1987, he worked for Zimmer Incorporated of Warsaw and also worked for the Transportation Department of the Warsaw Community School Corporation. For several months, he served on the mission field in the Philippines. He then served in Pensacola, Florida with Mount Zion Ministries. Dennis was a member of Grace Fellowship Church in Bremen, Indiana. He was born on March 3rd, 1942 in Norwood, Ohio to the late Lige C. Hoskins and Margaret Kidd Hess. On November 28th, 1964, he was married to Clara Cornelius Hoskins, who survives in Warsaw. He's also survived by his two daughters, Tracy and husband Ron Reynolds of Warsaw, Kim and husband Darius Wright of Cincinnati, Ohio, and nine grandchildren, Natalie, Austin, Jacob, Sam, Josiah, Kendra, Isaac, Jalen, and Micah. He was preceded in death by his father, Lige C. Hoskins, mother and stepfather, Margaret and Orlando Hess, and his sister, Phyllis Miller. Now, friends, we're here this morning by divine appointment, as a week ago today, our Lord took our beloved Dennis home. All the days ordained for him were written in God's book before one of them came to be. And Friday was the last of those days here. And so we've come to express our love and support for Clara and all the family, and also to worship God, the one who, by his so great salvation in Jesus Christ, made all the difference for Dennis in life and in death and for all eternity. It's Jesus' saving work in Dennis's life that's the foundation of our comfort and hope in the midst of our sorrow today. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May his name be praised. And Clara and family, when someone like your Dennis has loved you so much and poured himself into your lives for so long, the separation is all the more painful. These are earth-shaking moments in your life, when things as stable and constant as the mountains are now falling into the sea, and you need firm ground to stand upon. So what is our privilege today? To be able to turn to our unchanging God and his unchanging word. Gabe Tribbett is going to come and lead us in prayer, and then Pastor Jason Webb will read the scriptures and lead us in a song of praise.
Let us bow our hearts and our heads as we go to the Father together. Father, we come to you this morning with heavy hearts and with mixed emotions. But we know that your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted and that you save the crushed in spirit. And so we praise you today as the giver and sustainer of life. Father, we praise you as we celebrate the life of Dennis, whom we dearly loved, and we continue to love, and just the memory of all that he has been for us. Father, we thank you for the life that you gave him, that you created him in your image to be a reflection of you. And Father, in your mercy and your providence, that you took him from his blindness, Lord, in his sin, and you showed him the light of the gospel, the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ. Lord, you snatched him from the fire and you put him on the path of life. Father, we thank you so much for the life that you gave Dennis, that you gave him deep affections for Christ that overflowed into the lives of those he loved, that he had an insatiable love for your word, and that he stored it up in his mind, and he, Lord, loved to memorize it, loved to share it, loved to talk about Jesus. We thank you that you have put those desires in his heart, and that now he is with his Savior, who he has longed to be with for all these years. Father, for those of us who are in Christ, that is where we long to be. And we pray that you would, Lord, just continue to use Dennis's life as a testimony of Christ. Lord, it's impossible to sum up a man's life in words, but we know that Dennis, for him, the summary was Lord, it is not he who lives, but it's Christ who lived in him. And Lord, that was an apt summary. And we just thank you that Dennis's hope was the resurrection, was the life that you provided through Jesus Christ. That our Savior stood in Dennis's place, and that is why he is with you now. Father, we thank you for that great hope that we have. Lord, for those of us who remain here, Lord, for Clara and Kim and Tracy and their family and the friends who are here and the grandchildren, Lord, who are hurting, we thank you so much that we have a sympathetic high priest. Lord, a great high priest who, Lord, is so tender and compassionate because he knows the depth of grief. He knows the sorrow that we feel. Lord, we know in the life of Jesus at the loss of his great friend Lazarus that he wept hard. He grieved with all of his heart. He saw the devastating effects of sin and death, and it grieved him. And Lord, we also know that he had a great hope, that he had a hope in the power of resurrection, and that for your glory he raised Lazarus from the dead as a picture of what he would do in his own life. As he would take on the grave, he would overcome it, and that you would raise him in glory. Lord, that was Dennis's hope. That is our hope. But we thank you that when our Savior left this earth, that he did not leave us merely with a promise of resurrection, although that would be enough. But he gave us a great comforter, a great helper to be near to us in our grief and our sorrow and the hardships that we face. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come around Clara and Kim and Tracy and their family and all the friends here, Lord, that your Spirit would comfort and love on them in such a way that they feel not only Dennis's presence around them, but they feel, more importantly, your presence around them. Father, I thank you in your grace that you prompted Dennis sometime in this past year to write a note to his dear Clara, to describe to her the depth of his love for her, the way that he passionately loved her, faithfully loved her because of Christ, and yet he loved Christ more than her, and that enabled him to love her well. Father, we thank you for this man that was such a faithful husband. He cared and tenderly provided for his wife and led her in your word. And Lord, she is the woman she is today because of your use of Dennis. Father, thank you also for the faithful father that he was in caring for his daughters, his sons-in-law, his grandchildren. And Lord, we pray that you would, in your providence and your kindness, that your Spirit would be Clara's husband, that you would be her lover for the rest of her days, Lord, that you would be Kim and Tracy's father, that they would feel a father's love, Lord, as Dennis reflected your love as a heavenly father. Father, finally, I just want to thank you that Dennis did not waste his life. Lord, by your Spirit, you led him to live a fruitful life because of your grace, that his affections ran deep and hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those of us who are here, who are in Christ, that you would deepen our affections, that this morning would be a time of worship, Lord, especially for those who, Lord, are grieving most at a loss that cannot be filled, a void in their heart, and yet they would worship you as the one who gives and the one who takes away and the one who ultimately will give back when we gather around your throne and you make all things new. Father, we long for that life. But Lord, we know that there are some in this room who don't know you, who are not ready to stand before you, and who would not be gathered around your throne. Lord, I pray that you would save them. I pray that you would lead them to have a life that is Lord, aware of your saving grace, that you would open their eyes to see and that you would arrest them on this road to Damascus and that you would save them, Lord, that they might worship you this morning as a picture of the way that we'll worship you in eternity. Father, we love you. We thank you for this man. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is, Lord, our provision, our comforter. Lord, please call our minds to the hope of resurrection. And thank you for being the giver and sustainer of life, both now and in eternity. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
After the Bible, Dennis's favorite book was Psalm 119 by Charles Bridges. He read it and he reread it. I've seen his copy at home, and it has no covers, front or back. He wore them off. He loved that book because it talked about the Word of God, which was something that he loved even more. And one of his favorite passages was Psalm 119, 33 through 40. Please hear the Word of God. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law, and obey it with all of my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. He loved God's word because it told him of the love of God for him in Christ Jesus. It was an unstoppable, all-conquering love. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What is that except to say that God is faithful? He was faithful to Dennis every single day of Dennis's life. And Clara, he will be faithful to you every day to come. Please take your song sheets that were on your chairs, and let's together sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Last Friday morning, as most of the world was waking up to a new day, our brother Dennis Hoskins took his last breath, and his spirit went immediately to be with his Lord Jesus Christ. And his body now awaits the glorious resurrection at Christ's return, when it will be reunited with his spirit, and then he will be, body and spirit, forever with the Lord. Heaven's response to Dennis's death is recorded for us in Psalm 116 and verse 15. It's this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. It's probably not the word that we would use to describe death, is it? We're so used to looking at death from the human side. And from here, it spells sorrow and separation, pain and loss. But God's view helps us to see death as it really is for the believer, and as it really was for Dennis last Friday morning. For though the world at large took no notice of his death, yet that bed in Fort Wayne had the special attention of Almighty God. And what a precious thing it was to him when Dennis at last crossed over the river of death and into heaven. Let's consider together why it is that Dennis's death was so precious to the Lord. Now, not everyone's death is precious to the Lord. The verse is very specific, isn't it? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. His saints. Now, according to the Bible, saints are not a select group of super spiritual Christians who receive sainthood by some decision of the church for a miraculous deed done. No, all true followers of Christ are saints. As Paul writes his letters, he often uses that terminology: to the saints in Philippi, to the saints at Ephesus. A saint is simply one who, by the saving work of Christ, has been sanctified, set apart from the world unto God. And so Dennis was a saint. No, he wasn't always a saint. And he'd be the first to tell you that he was born a sinner like the rest of us. He loved those words of the Apostle Paul: this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I felt at times almost as if Dennis was ready to argue with the Apostle Paul on who was the worst of sinners, Paul or Dennis. But he never got over the fact that Christ would seek him and save him, a sinner who didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Years ago, he wrote in his testimony for church membership that though at age 8 or 9 he was taken to Sunday school and church, he says, "I responded to the knowledge of God by going the way of my own understanding, gratifying my sinful, self-centered nature." It wouldn't be until age 28 that he and Clara began to attend church occasionally. At age 33, he was deployed on an aircraft carrier. He remembers taking a Bible along and actually reading it. It seems that the Lord was plowing up his heart and dropping in something of his word. But it was around age 35, after being transferred to Guam, that a lady invited Dennis and Clara to the base chapel near their home, and they went. And the next week, Dennis said, "Shall we go again?" And Clara says, "Yes." And they went again, and then they went regularly. And Dennis writes, "Through the ministry of the chaplains there, I began to understand what I had been reading in the Bible, and it began to affect my life." Clara was telling us that around the third Sunday that they attended, Dennis came home and said to her, "I get it. Jesus Christ really is God." What a revelation from the Holy Spirit to a man's heart. And what a difference that made about everything. It changes everything in our response to him. This is God I am dealing with. The one I've sinned against is God. The one who died for sinners is God. The one who's risen from the dead is God. The one coming again to judge me is God. The one able to save me is God. The one who commands me to turn from my sin and trust in him is God. The one who says, come to me, follow me, is God. And so by the grace of God, this sailor did an about-face and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. When asked what the cross means to him, he responded, Christ's death on the cross means everything to me. It means I have been saved from my sins. It means that I can have fellowship with God because I have been pronounced innocent, justified before God. I'm acceptable in the beloved Jesus Christ. In his death on the cross, Jesus was made sin for me so that I in him was made righteous. Clara testified that when this sailor got a new heart, he also got a new mouth. That's the transforming work of God's Spirit, teaching his child to hallow God's name. And he got a new desire for God's Word. He loved to read it. He loved to study it, to memorize it, and then share it with others. It wasn't always this way with Dennis. That, too, is God's saving grace in his life. He loved good spiritual books, as we've heard, and he and Clara even ministered for years in Pensacola to see them published. But for all his love of books, there was no question that Dennis was still a man of one book, the Bible. Amen. He would have agreed entirely with John Wesley's sentiments, who wrote, I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I'm a spirit come from God and returning to God, just hovering over the great gulf, till a few moments hence I am no more seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge for me. Knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. Well, Dennis wrote, the Lord gave me a great thirst to know him and to make him known. Gave him a great love for the lost that would take him to evangelize sinners in the Philippines and would take him to his own children and his own grandchildren at home. He was given a love to pray, and I'll miss his prayers for me. He had a great love for the people of God. What a joy to be greeted by our brother with a warm handshake and smile and hug. Amen. And a encouraging word from the scriptures. He was given a great desire for God to be glorified in all he did and said, and this is what the grace of God made him. We asked Dennis, if Christ were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? Here's his response, you shouldn't. I deserve to be eternally condemned. I am the worst of sinners. Yet I have, by your grace, trusted in your redeeming blood shed for me to cleanse me from my sins. I should only be allowed entrance into heaven because of you and what you did for me. And so it was by God's work, not his own, that this sinner was saved from his sins in hell and made a saint. It was by God's work that he was set apart, no longer to live for himself, but for him who died and rose again. So being one of God's saints, the Bible says that his death was precious in God's sight. Now let's look at two reasons why his death was precious in God's sight. First of all, because he was precious to the Lord. His death was precious because he was precious. We love Dennis. He was a special man. He made his way into our hearts and lives so graciously. We will deeply miss him for he was precious to us. But no matter how precious he was to us, he was more precious to God. For you see, God made him. And God the Father chose him in Christ before the creation of the world to be one of his saints. And he so loved him that he sent his one and only Son to go to the cross and take the punishment Dennis deserved. And God the Son willingly came for him and became a propitiation to turn away God's wrath by taking it upon himself. He loved Dennis, and so he went into the grave for Dennis. He was raised again for Dennis. He ascended and reigns on high and reigned for Dennis and sent him daily grace and all that he needed in life. And God the Spirit came and lived in his heart, first opening his eyes and showing him the deity and the value of Jesus Christ, perfectly matching his need as a sinner and giving him faith and repentance and giving him his own help in life, making him willing to trust and obey the Savior, filling him with the fruit of the Spirit, those things that we enjoyed so much about him. So you see, the living God has had a very personal relationship with Dennis. They've been best friends for many, many years. They talk to each other daily, God speaking to him in the Bible, guiding and encouraging and comforting and strengthening, and Dennis speaking to him in prayer. And the Lord heard every word from his mouth, and even those desires that he was not able to put into words. And over, he sent Dennis grace to help him in his time of need. He cared for Dennis in all his weakness and in all his confusion. He was there for him. He never left him, and he went with him right through the valley of the shadow of death. And his goodness and mercy followed Dennis all the days of his life, and when on Friday those days came to an end, he considered Dennis's death precious. And that for the second reason, because Dennis's death brought him to heaven to be with his Lord. We want to be with those we love. We enjoyed being with Dennis, and he enjoyed being with us. Love enjoys the presence of the loved one. And the same is true of the Lord Jesus. It has ever been the desire of the Son of God to be with his people. They're his loved ones, his treasured possession, the apple of his eye, his blood-bought bride, and he longs to be with them. Just before leaving his disciples, Jesus told them, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." That's Jesus' plan, to have his people with him where he is. And just hours before he was crucified, we hear him praying, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory." Jesus wants his own to be with him. That was his plan, that was his desire, and that was his prayer to the Father. And last Friday morning, that desire and prayer was partially answered, as another one of his saints went to be with him where he is. So we must think of Dennis's death as an answer to Jesus' own prayer and longing to have him with him. No wonder Dennis's death was precious in his sight. That was the very reason for which the Lord Jesus left heaven in the first place. It was to bring his people to God. Sin is what keeps people out of heaven. Sin is what separates us from God and makes us unfit company for a holy God. And if ever sinners are to live with God, their sins must be paid for and taken away in full. And so Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. That was the goal, the joy set before him, for which he endured the cross and scorned its shame, that he might bring many sons to glory. Then think of Christ's own joy last Friday morning when one of those sons for whom he died was brought safely to heaven at last. Mission accomplished. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But then consider that if Dennis's death was so precious to his Lord, think how precious it was to him. At least three reasons we want to think of. First, his death marked the end of all his troubles. Man is born to troubles as surely as the sparks fly upward. And Dennis had his share of troubles. He had his burdens to bear, not only his own, but yours as well, dear family, as he carried them in his loving heart. But they're gone now. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness or sorrow or sadness. No more Alzheimer's. No more confusion. No more cancer. No more trials in this vale of tears. He's entered into the joy of his Lord. Gladness and joy have overtaken him. Dennis liked to walk and run. Gladness and joy caught up with him and overtook him, and sorrow and sighing has fled away. No more troubles with sin and temptation, that wearisome battle with the world and the flesh and the devil. Dennis was a military man, trained for war. He was also a good soldier of Jesus Christ, trained by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, fighting the good fight of faith against his spiritual enemies. He saw himself as his own worst enemy and wrote of that. He said, I long to change and become more and more like my best friend, the Lord Jesus, and to become less and less like my old self. And then he quotes, I believe it was John Newton, who says, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I will be in another world. But thanks be to God, I'm not what I once was. Well, our dear brother now is what he wanted to be and what he ought to have been and what, by the grace of Christ, he will be forever and ever, like his Lord. So the war is over for him. Friday was his D-Day. He's fought the good fight. It's over. Never again to be bothered by temptation and sin, within or without. He's finished the race he ran for so many years. So then, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labor. And the difficulties in his journey here only make his rest more sweeter there. His death was precious to him, for it was the funeral of all his troubles. Secondly, his death was precious to him because it was death without the sting of death. The Bible says that the sting of death is sin. Sin is what makes death so painful, so dreadful, so full of fear. Because death drags us as sinners before the judge to be punished for our sins against him, which is eternal punishment. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So sin is what makes death this dreadful enemy. But because the Lord Jesus Christ came and suffered the punishment for Dennis's sins, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. His sins were paid for in full by the Lord, and they no longer stand against him. They're gone. So death is defanged. Its stinger is gone. Christ took the sting himself when he suffered the wrath and punishment Dennis deserved, which is what he did for all of his people, all who repent and trust in him. He took the judgment they would have suffered forever in hell. So death for them is like a bee without a stinger. Though it may buzz and threaten, it can do nothing to harm God's people. So that every believer facing death is now able to taunt death, saying, where, O death, is your victory? Bring it. Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Dennis could even look forward to death and why he could speak so openly about it. He was ready to die. You see, nothing is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even death itself is changed for those who are in Christ. Death was now but his entrance into glory. The very worst that death could do was open the door and let him in to heaven. That's why Friday morning was precious to Dennis. It was death without a sting. And lastly, it was precious to him because it brought him face to face with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, family, how much he wanted to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Could not Dennis have used these very words in Psalm 27? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Friday morning, that longing was fulfilled for our dear brother. He went to see his Savior, to live with him forever, the one who bore the crown of thorns for him, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me? Well, he's with him now. Beholding his glory, he loved to read of him in the scriptures. But now he beholds him face to face. He saw his glory dimly here, but he now sees clearly as faith has been turned to sight. So Dennis's death was precious to the Lord Jesus and precious to himself because it brought the two of them together forever. My friend, will your death be precious to the Lord Jesus? Will it be precious for you? We're advised in Scripture, death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Funerals, yes, are for the dead, but they're for the living to take to heart that this is the destiny of every man. Dennis was ready to die, but you're only ready to die if you're in Christ. And it's only as we're ready to die that we're really ready to live. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And you will find mercy with the Lord. You will find him to be the gracious Savior he was to Dennis. You'll find him to be the same for you. Clara, God gave you this wonderful gift that you enjoyed for 49 years of marriage together. But God's also given you the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift is God's guarantee to you that he will give you everything else that you could possibly need in this life. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? So your loss is great. Your loss leaves you with many unanswered questions about the future. But here's a resting place for your troubled heart. That when you were in need of a Savior, God did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for you. So great his love. Do you think for a moment that he'll withhold any lesser gift now that he's given you the greatest gift? Let that assure you that you will find in Christ all that you need. He's full of grace for you, dear sister. From his fullness, you've already received grace upon grace, and you can confidently expect to go on receiving from him grace upon grace, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all yours, 10,000 beside. As we leave this funeral service, let us leave with heaven's perspective then on death for Christ's people. Matthew Henry, the 18th century minister and Bible commentator, takes his knowledge of the Bible and paints a picture of that scene above that is reality for our Dennis. Would you like to know where I am? I am at home in my Father's house. in the mansions prepared for me here. I am where I want to be, no longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe and quiet harbor. My sowing time is done, and I am reaping. My joy is as the joy of harvest. I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory. Would you like to know what I am doing? I see Christ, not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I'm engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to Him who sits upon the throne, and I am constantly praising Him. Would you like to know what blessed company I keep? Oh, it is better than the best on earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I'm with many of my old acquaintances with whom I worked and prayed before and who have come here before me. Lastly, would you know how long this will continue? It's a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is new. Therefore, weep not for me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, these words would not ring true to us. They would not be true had it not been for Your great eternal plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we're bowing before You in our hearts this morning, thanking You for the Lord Jesus Christ, and thanking You for the salvation that is in Him. Thank You for seeking and saving Dennis when he was a wandering sheep. Thank You for giving him Your Holy Spirit and changing his eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Thank You for changing his life and filling him with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We worship You, who's made Him what He was to us. And we thank You that that gospel message that He once heard and believed is still the same saving gospel with power to save all who come unto God through Him. Draw others this day and go with Clara and the family and assure them of that love that You have for them from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord's love is with those who fear Him. We would know that love and rest in it more and more. And so we commit ourselves into Your care. In Jesus' name, amen. A military graveside service is planned for 1 o'clock at Marion National Cemetery in Marion, Indiana. There'll be no procession down there, so if you're going, please be careful and make your way down. And afterwards, there will be a dinner for you back here at the funeral home.